유지? 지가? I heard you tried to leave.
Yeah.
Yes? Yeah. What happened?
Technical issue.
Huh?
Airplane.
Airplane.
Yeah.
Problem.
Yes.
Yes. Then?
Accidentally, I'm here.
You are here, no? Yesterday you tried to leave?
Yes.
Yesterday I wanted to give you a seat, no? And then I heard that these people, they don't tell me. When you leave, you know, I always have problem with the disciples. Then? Then you see you couldn't escape. When I wanted to give you a seat, you have to have a seat. Then the plane broke down, no? I never heard about this before. Huh? It's very mysterious. Huh? There is no escape. Just surrender. But your visa is finished now. Visa is fine. Then everything is fine. Okay. Very good. I'm happy, yeah? Huh? It's not the right time to go there. Then I never heard this. He's trying to go, and then the plane breaks down. He cannot leave. Huh? No, you understand now. You can try and try all you want. Then my poet, Safia, who only writes poetry, I think she lives in the poetry. Here in these lands, closer to the sun, where the fortunate ones find their true nature, I float, half bodiless, as if suspended on a timeless moment. I look at these arid mountains, and I feel their majesty inside me. I see these radiant flowers, and an innocent joy sprouts in my heart. I walk through my inner Himalayas, involved by my beloved's fragrance. It is a magnificent journey, where his light makes me transparent. I already have the most precious, the Guru, a guide to explore the invincible. Now I just want to follow his trail of sweetness and look at the world from where he looks. I receive all the blessings of sitting with you, and my layers of dust disappear. Everything becomes clear and simple. You say you are nobody, but to me you are all the love that exists in life, a conspiracy of the universe brought me here. Only so that I could surrender to you. Love, Safia. Azad wrote me, "My beloved Guruji, in the last year, a lot of fear has been coming up, especially the fear of others. It makes me feel so lost and insecure. Now I start to see that it happens because, since I was little, I relied only on what comes from the outside to validate myself and feel worthy. And so I had no trust in my own self. I also see that I became needy, dependent, and afraid as I tried to understand my place in this world through others. Also, it triggered comparison and the arrogance in response. And I have played these games in so many roles: the son, the student, the photographer, the artist, the sannyasin, the facilitator, and the friend. So many times there was a wannabe feeling behind my actions. So my mind believed I would only be accepted or loved if I could be this or that, or prove myself worthy. And the more I moved in fear, the more my heart got shaded. I also see now that sometimes, even when writing to you, I had this projection running in the back of my head, trying to show how good a disciple I was, how nice insights I was having. Such a fool. I feel I have looked for far too long outside to accept and validate myself, and it drained me. Now it's enough, as I feel I can finally start to relax inside and trust my heart to understand who I am, accepting and coming back to myself more and more. And the beauty is that this could only happen being in this loving Sangha, with all the friction and loving feedbacks that helped me to realize it. Now I'm at your feet, beloved. I'm just reconnecting myself with the simplicity and innocence that I've lost in this life, and that you have been patiently showing me the way back. Thank you so much for all the grace you pour on us. Only your presence makes my life meaningful. Eternal gratitude for all that you are sharing. Love, Azad." It's about time that you are getting fed up playing these games and seeing that everything is coming from the ego and the mind, because it cannot work. And 5 years you've been around me, so it's high time that you go a bit deeper because you have been trying all these games, even here, and all that is just on the surface. But this is the situation with everybody. You rely on what comes from the outside to validate yourself and feel worthy. So you have no trust in your own self. So that is what the ego is. It's a plastic flower, no? It's a plastic flower, it's not real. But because you don't have the real flower, you keep the plastic flower and you paint it and you decorate it and you take so good care of it and you make it more beautiful. But from the plastic flower is no fragrance, is no sensitivity, is false. And that is shocking to see. And I see that when you write, you're trying to be good, you're trying to be a good disciple, you're trying to have good insights, but you haven't come to that point where you are really ready to look at yourself. So hopefully now is the time. And that's what I say, you have to realize it yourself. You can sit with me for years and nothing happens. And I know it's pleasant, and I know it's nice, but maybe no transformation is happening because you are just protecting your plastic flower, your image, your arrogance. Even writing nice letters, spiritual letters, is all empty. For the real to be created, the false has to go. And that can only happen when you realize it yourself. You have enough. You did enough to protect the false. No matter what, I'm willing to look at the real. That's what a sannyasin has to have, the courage. You've been occupied in the outside, in your image, being a great disciple, a photographer, a lover, this and that. Keeping you busy in the opinions of others. And this is maybe one of the greatest fears in the world for people. They are so afraid of the opinions of others. What other people say. What they think about you. How they like you. If you know yourself, your own worth, your own beauty, your own truth, then who cares? Who cares what people think? Who cares what people say? A real man, a real woman doesn't care. They live their own life. Opinions are just opinions. It's just mine. But as long as you are a slave of the mind, of the ego, of your image, then you're trying this way and that way. To be like, to be something special. And the ego is just sick because it's never in balance. It's split, it's schizophrenic. So either the ego is wants to be superior. And that's what you've been playing with. And then you have the ego one that gets inferior. So in between these two opposites, either you are superior or you are inferior. And you change depending on the situation. Because the mind always compares. And it has nothing to do with reality. Because reality just is. It doesn't need anything. It doesn't need, why should you need any acceptance, any value from somebody who doesn't know themselves, from society? Why should you need that? What does that give you? It gives you a more fat ego. All the Buddha says, be a light unto yourself. But instead you became a slave of others. Others who also doesn't know who they are. And that's how the game goes on. And that's why there's no peace. There's no truth. And everybody is careful to say the truth. Because maybe you don't like me. Maybe it's painful, maybe it's hurtful. So you go on buttering the egos. And you never become real. So it is shocking to see, but this has to come, hopefully sooner or later. That now is enough. And why is the fear of others? Because the ego is always separated. For the ego, when you live in the ego, then is them and I. It's the others. In reality, it is us. It's all friends. For the ego is all enemies. Is the others, is competition, is comparing. For a lover, for the heart, is all friends, one family, one human family. Then where are the others? It's me, it's us. But we have cut our own connection with the source. So many times you say there was a wannabe feeling behind my actions. Yes, and then your actions always becomes false because it's for some return. Some recognition. As my mind believed, I would only be accepted or loved if I could be this or that and prove myself worthy. This is how the world functions. Prove yourself worthy for some fools. You should have enough worth just being yourself. You don't need anything else. That's why in the East they say the enlightened one, even if he's a beggar, he is the real king. He is the Raja. in the old days, even kings came to the gurus. Not the image, not the money, not that they were ruling the whole country. They wanted some wisdom, so they could really be a good king, a good ruler. In those days, it's totally disappeared. Where the emperor comes to the guru. No, they are all afraid. All slaved by the politicians. Those golden days are gone. Don't keep your heart a secret. You have to stand up for it. Otherwise you will never break free. And your image is bound to go because you don't know who you are. So that has to go. The false has to go. It is a time where everything is crumbling. That is the trust I'm talking about. If you don't have that trust, if you don't have that understanding, that longing in your own heart, then the real can never come forth. You will always protect the false. You will always play it safe. And when you accept yourself beyond any image, any idea, any name, then the whole existence will accept you instead of some fools. Then what do you choose? If the whole existence accepts you, kisses you, instead of your boss accepts you, that you're such a good photographer, Asad. But that takes courage. All this understanding and beauty could only happen being here in this loving Sangha. Yes, it could only happen here. Because here it gives you the courage, because many people go through it. With all the friction and loving feedbacks that helped me realize it. There is no friction in the Sangha. You are the one who creates friction. Remember, always, you are the friction. If there is no friction in you, there is no friction appearing. You create the friction because of your unconsciousness. And then, out of our love and care, we have to give you feedback. Feedback to the sleepy unconscious ones. If you're aware, you don't need. The more sleepy, the more friction. The more unconscious, the more feedback. And that is very embarrassing, annoying, painful for the sleepy one. You create the friction, remember. When I was with my master, I never had friction. Be yourself, don't be a slave of the opinions of others. Have the courage to go into your own darkness and transform it into light. That is every seeker's journey. You have to have the courage, the trust. To go into your own unconsciousness, your own darkness, and transform it. And see that there is no fear, there is only love. Buddha says, how can a troubled mind understand the way? How can a troubled mind understand the way? And the mind is always troubled, is always thinking. So the first thing is to become more silent, to not be a slave, not be identified with the restless mind, with this troubled mind. You have to be dedicated to peace itself, to meditation. And it's not easy to still the mind. And only when the mind is silent, untroubled, peaceful, only then can meditation start. How can a troubled mind understand the way? It's impossible. Because it's not in thinking. Sometimes, even my sannyasins, they have a troubled mind. Can you imagine? They have a troubled mind, and sometimes, then when they have really troubled mind, they don't come even for satsang. That means they protect the troubled mind. If it's anywhere you get cleared your troubled mind, it is in satsang. It is with the master, it is with clarity. By keeping away, you're protecting the troubled mind. You've been with your mind always. Nothing happened, just confusion happened. If a man is disturbed, he will never be filled with knowledge. If a man is disturbed, and how do you get disturbed? by getting involved in the falls and trying to live up to the opinions of others. Then you never find peace. You never find yourself. You are always trying to be something that you are not. An untroubled mind, no longer seeking to consider what is right and what is wrong. A mind beyond judgments, watches and understands. An untroubled mind, no longer seeking to consider what is right and what is wrong. That is an untroubled mind. That is someone who is not listening to the mind anymore. You are focusing in your being, where there is quietness. And when the mind is untroubled, silent, then there is nobody there seeking to consider what is right and what is wrong. And what is right and what is wrong is a disease of the mind. Am I liked? Am I disliked? Am I superior? Am I inferior? Am I worthy? Am I not worthy? All this is the mind. In reality, there is no right or wrong. It means no, you have gone beyond the opposites. When there is no more right and no more wrong, then everything is like it is. And the fear of doing right or wrong, or the right thing or the wrong thing, comes from the ego, who is always afraid. If you are at ease within yourself, you are just flowing with life. There is no right and wrong. There's no choosing. But that can only come from an empty mind. As long as you are identified with the mind, there will always be right and wrong. You will always play the game. And you will always be disappointed. A mind beyond judgments watches and understands. No. The mind, when it's unburdened, it becomes your friend. If the mind is identified with the ego, with the mind, which almost everybody is, then the mind is your enemy. It never gives you peace. But what Buddha is saying, when you have won the battle, when the mind has become your servant, and what does a good servant do? He's just available. He's just resting by the master. Whenever the master needs, he is ready. Otherwise, he just sleeps. That is the good servant. Always ready, but making no fuss. Because the master knows when something is needed. That is surrender. You're just available. A mind beyond judgments watches and understands. And then the clarity of the mind just watching. And in the watchfulness, a deep understanding how things are. And that is really the essence of Buddha's teaching. Awareness, watchfulness. Without any judgments, just watching. Know well that the body is a fragile jar, and make a castle of your mind. In every trial, let understanding fight for you to defend what you have won. Because you will be tested again and again. Don't slip into the mind, Buddha says. Let your understanding fight for you. If you have had a realization, an understanding, a shift in consciousness, then trust it. Stand up for it. Don't keep it hidden. Stand up for your own awareness. Because it's very easy to fall back into the old games and be the old. No, if you, after a long time, has found some new awareness, a new light, take care of it. Be aware, don't fall back. Because it's very, very easy. And I tell you that every retreat, be aware when you go back to your so-called ordinary life, because unconsciousness is waiting for you. It's very easy to slip back. Because something new is start awakening in you. But everybody else is looking at you the same way as the old. That's why it's important to have friends on the journey who understand, who doesn't just feed the old. In every trial, let understanding fight for you to defend what you have won. Because it is like a battle of to get free of the unconsciousness of your mind. No, you have won something, then live it. Stand up for it. For soon the body is discarded. Then what does it feel? A useless log of wood. It lies there on the ground. Then what does it know? Buddha says, soon this body is discarded. Soon you also will die. Then what? The only thing you can take with you is your consciousness. So don't put so much attention, don't get lost in the body. Take care of the body, love the body, keep it healthy. But the whole focus now has become on the body. And the body will go. Then what do you have? If you only know the body, you have nothing. You go empty. You find consciousness, it goes with you. Focus on that which is eternal. Buddha says, you too will die. Why do you quarrel? Why do you fight? Why do you make any fuss? such a simple thing. If this goes really into your heart, into your being, that you too will die. Where is your focus? Why do you make any fuss? Why are you occupied with the false? Why do you fight? Why do you quarrel? Because you have forgotten. Wake up. For soon the body is discarded. Then what does it feel? A useless log of wood. It lies on the ground. Then what does it know? Your worst enemy cannot harm you as much as your own thoughts, unguarded. Your worst enemy cannot harm you as much as your own thoughts, unguarded. And if there is no awareness in you, then the thoughts are unguarded all the time. They all the time comes up with some projection, some idea, some comparison, some judgments. Don't get involved with the thoughts. You are your worst enemy. Your worst enemy cannot harm you as much as your own thoughts, unguarded. But once mastered, no one can help you as much. Not even your father or your mother, no one. But once mastered, once your witnessing, your awareness has awoken, then you don't need anything. That is all you need. He's saying not even your father or your mother, because when you have a hard time, then you always, oh, where's mama? I want to go home. No, there is nobody there. You have to be aware. You have to create an inner light in yourself. Nobody can help you. Everybody is alone. That is the truth. Only your own inner consciousness will help you. Depend on that. Be a light unto yourself. This is the message of the Buddhas. Wake up, be aware, be truthful, as Dhammo Sanatana. Be light unto yourself. Aum Shanti.
Closer than breath. You are the air, sweeter than life itself. You are here. I am a wanderer. You are my peace. I am a prisoner. You are release. Jai Gurudev, Jai Gurudev, Jai Gurudev, Jai Gurudev, Jai Gurudev. I am pilgrim, the road so long. I am the singer, you are the song. Held in the open sky, so far above. I am the lover, you are the love. Jigurude, 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 Jigurude.
By your grace, by